Yep, that's you, Riley. Yep. Go. Oh, Joel, grab one of those chairs. Put a chair up here. Right, so as you can see, we have some pretty amazing kids here. And when they all get together, there is a lot of them. Joel, where's he going? Right, and it is a real privilege to be able to go out each Sunday or most Sundays and spend some time with your amazing children. And so this morning, what our Celebration Sunday is all about is really just sharing some of the stuff that we've been learning over the term. And so as Richard said, we've been learning about the colours of Christmas, the shapes of Christmas, and the characters of Christmas. So we're going to have a little bit of all of that to present to you this morning. When you get to Christmas, it's like, well, Christmas comes each year, and it's sometimes difficult to find something a little bit different, a different perspective on things. And so that's hopefully what we get to present this morning. And as most people say, you shouldn't actually work with children and animals. This is pretty much unrehearsed, put together. Kids have been told pretty much this morning exactly what's happening. So bear with us. They do a pretty amazing job. And it's actually a part of what we share on a Sunday. I ask for volunteers to pray. I ask for volunteers to do readings, to come and share, to join with the other kids. And so, because that's what happens, that's what we do. Because it's actually really difficult to get a whole group of people together and do a production as in practice and make it all polished. But that's Christmas, isn't it? Okay, it's a messy season, and we're going to sit. I hope that you can sit back and enjoy what we've got to share this morning. So, without further ado, hopefully all our wonderful, talented people are all sorted out there. Can I have our family come and join us?
Okay, kids, you know what that means. Time for bed.
Oh, Dad, can we stay up a little bit later?
I'm not even tired. Mom, Dad said it's time to go to bed.
What's all the fuss?
It's the first night of Christmas break, and Dad says it's time for bed.
Please, can we stay up a little bit longer?
We can decorate the tree.
Sure, that's a great idea. Let's get this tree trimmed from top to bottom.
The tree sure doesn't look very festive without any decorations.
We need some colour.
Do you know that all the colours and shapes that we use have special meanings?
I like red the best. It reminds me of the bike that I got for Christmas a couple of years ago.
That's not exactly what I had in mind. In fact, if we look closely at each colour, if we look closely, each colour points us towards the story of Jesus as told in the Bible.
I've been decorating the tree for years, and I have never really looked at it that way.
Let's start with green.
Yes, green, as in cash. I hope I get $20 on my card from Auntie this year.
I think Dad's talking about the tree.
Yeah. Yep, all this glorious green.
It doesn't look very glorious.
You really need to look a little bit deeper. It's glorious because green is the colour of life. Jesus came at Christmas to give us life. Can anyone remember where in the Bible it talks about life?
John chapter 3, verse 16.
John. John earlier. Keep decorating
For God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die but have eternal life.
That's right. Jesus came to earth so that we could have life. So anytime you see green, remember that Jesus came to earth so that you could live with him forever.
Open up that box and let's start putting up some decorations.
I'm on it. Oh, here's the nativity scene.
Many families have a nativity set that they display every Christmas. You might have one that's been handed down in your family from several generations, or one that you bought when you were first married. It might be made of glass, porcelain, plastic, or wood. Most likely, though, it has one thing in common with all the others. It's primarily meant to be a decoration. Look, but don't touch. What God wants for Christmas is far more than a decoration. This nativity set was designed to create an experience with our kids centred on the truth of the Christmas story.
So, this is where you guys are going to come out one by one. Just wait. Wait for your turn.
Gabriel. In the beginning, God started to plan to bring about Christmas and it would be grand. Here he would launch a gift-giving tradition. I'll tell how it started. Please pay attention. Before we get to the story's heart, let me explain how I play a part. I was involved a long time ago as angel and speaker. It's God's words I know. For I stand in his presence. I'm Gabriel. And God wants you to hear the story I tell. For my words will offer his great gift to you, and you'll know what he wants when the story is through. What God wants for Christmas, it's to you a surprise. In box number 7, it is disguised. But no peeking, be patient, for this you must wait. It's what you offer him, and it's really great. Mary. The story began when Isaiah did tell that a virgin would give birth to Emmanuel. That name is special. It means God with us. And one day in this child, many would trust. So when the time came, I was appointed to tell the young woman that she was anointed. I said to her, Mary, you're God's chosen one. You will give birth to God's only son. How can this be? For this isn't typical. Indeed, it's not. We call it a miracle. God's Holy Spirit will help you give birth to God in the flesh. He'll live here on earth. God says to name this baby boy Jesus. Mary said, yes, may God do as he pleases. For I am a servant and I will obey. So God, can you use me in this special way? What God wants for Christmas, it's to you a surprise. In box number 7, it is disguised. But no peeking, be patient, for this you must wait. It's what you offer him, and it's really great. Joseph. Sweet Mary now knew that she'd be Jesus' mother. But mums need some help. She needed another, and Jesus would soon need a here on earth dad. God knew all that. Here's the plan that he had. God had a man named Joseph in mind. He'd make a good husband who's loving and kind. So one night God sent an angel to speak instructions to Joseph while he lay asleep. Joseph, take Mary. She'll be a good wife. This marriage is still God's plan for your life. God's spirit has given her a baby within. His name will be Jesus. He'll save you from sin. What God wants for Christmas? It's to you, a surprise. In box number 7, it is disguised. But no peeking, be patient, for this you must wait. It's what you offer him, and it's really great. Baby Jesus. After a while, there came a decree, go back where you're from originally. So this couple set out to Bethlehem town, and when they arrived, they looked all around. But the inns were too full, no room for two guests, and Mary was tired. She needed a rest. All rooms are taken, the innkeeper said. But then an idea popped into his head. My stable's not much, but there you can stay. I'll give you this manger and a feed trough with hay. Later on there, in the quiet of night, to Joseph and Mary's excited delight, she gave birth to God's son. It was not a surprise. God said it would happen, and he never lies. God gave the first gift that first Christmas day. He gave us the Christ, the babe in the hay. And that is not all. God wants something grand, an offering to him, the point of his plan. What God wants for Christmas, it's to you a surprise. In box number 7, it is disguised. But no peeking, be patient, for this you must wait. It's what you are for him, and it's really great. Our shepherds. Come right on down in the steps, guys. During the night, when all was quite still, shepherds were sheep-watching out on a hill. A saviour is born, boomed a rushing wind voice. I herald Messiah, it's time to rejoice. But what stood before them? An angel in white, with eyes full of fire and stature of might. Go to Bethlehem now, in a stable you'll find. A babe in a manger, that is your sign. Then finding the stable where they saw a light shine through the wallboards and into the night, the shepherds looked in, and what did they see? A manger, a baby. They fell to their knees. So this must be him. This is the sign. They had found Jesus, the Saviour, divine. These shepherds joined in the first celebration of Christmas because of this grand revelation. What God wants for Christmas? To you, a surprise. In box number 7, it is disguised. But no peeking, be patient, for this you must wait. It's what you offer him, and it's really great. Our wise men. Way in the east live some men who are wise. They saw a new star when they looked to the skies. This must be the star written here in our book. It tells of a king. Let's go take a look. So they followed the star till it finally rested, where Mary, the mother, and Jesus were nested. When they stepped inside, they all fell to the floor to worship the king. But then there was more. These men gave him frankincense, myrrh, and fine gold. Baby's over there. Go and give the gifts. To honour the one the new star had foretold. Then in a dream they learned not to go back. By way of King Herod, he planned to attack. So they chose to go home a different way. The child's location they did not portray. As Mary thought through these events in her mind, she said, God is so loving, protective, and kind. What God wants for Christmas, it's to you a surprise. In box number 7, it is disguised. But no peeking, be patient, for this you must wait. It's what you offer him, and it's really great. What God wants for Christmas? Now here's the surprise. In box number 7, where it's been disguised. Peek in the box, for so long you have waited. What God wants is you, the one he created. Me, you ask? Why is this so? I cannot wrap me and put on a bow. No, you cannot. But what you can give are the choices that you make in life that you live. God wants you to know him and love him within, and this is called worship and offering to him. To do this, trust Jesus who died in your place when you didn't deserve him. This is called grace. Pray now and offer your life and your heart. Say, Jesus, I need you. I'd like a new start. Forgive me today for the sins I've committed, so one day in heaven I'll be permitted. When you pray this decision, the heavens rejoice that you have made worship of God your life's choice. God wants you to know him, so choose every day to love God and thank him and give him all praise. Right, you guys are going to wait there because you're part of the nativity scene, and it's your turn. Oh, hang on. Wait. No, we're not quite finished scene two. My apologies, not quite yet.
I'll stand and wait.
We've got the rest of the scene tacked out. Go.
Not much colour here.
Actually, there is an important colour here. Look closer at Mary. What colour is she wearing?
Blue.
That's right. In Jesus' day, the colour blue was only worn by people of nobility or great power and importance. Traditionally, Mary is shown wearing blue. This signals the importance of the fact that Mary is to give birth of the King of Kings. Whenever we see the colour blue, we are reminded of the announcement that angel gave Mary.
Luke 1:33. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God has been gracious to you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of David, the Most High God. The Lord God will make him a king, as his ancestor David was, and he will be the king of the descendants of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end."
Cool!
And that's not the only Christmas colour we're looking at. What other colour do you see?
The only colour I see is a shepherd's brown cloak.
That's right.
What? Brown?
Yes.
But that's not really a Christmas colour, is it?
It is indeed. The shepherds in the Nativity are often shown wearing brown, and we remember the manger where Jesus lay and when he was born, and the wooden cross that 33 years later he hung as the saviour of all mankind. So when we see the colour brown, we remember both the manger and the cross, his miraculous birth and his sacrificial death.
Luke 2:9-20. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them. They were terribly afraid. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I am here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people. This very day in David's town your Saviour was born, Christ the Lord. And this is what will prove to you: you will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great army of heaven's angel appeared with the angels singing praises to the God. "Glory to the God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and saw the baby lying in a manger. When the shepherds saw him, they told him what the angel had said about the child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. Mary remembered all these things and thought deeply about them. The shepherds went back singing praises to God for all they had heard and seen. It had been just as the angel had told them.
You two are doing a fantastic job of the nativity scene. What say we open another box and get some decorations for the tree?
Come on, Dad said the colours all point to the story of Jesus.
Okay, so red and white, red and white. I give up.
I think I know. Red is the colour of the blood of Jesus that he shed on the cross for our sin. It's the colour of freedom. God rescued us from death.
And white?
Oh, I know. So, if red represents the blood of Jesus, white shows us that Jesus's blood cleanses us from our sins.
Red and white are everywhere at Christmas, so we're always reminded that Jesus' blood washes us as white as snow.
That's right. The red and white decorations show us that the baby in the manger became the Lamb of God, whose blood was shed for all of us, no matter who we are or what we have done. Jesus loves us so much.
What's this?
We light candles at Christmas as another way to remember the Christmas story. Each week, for 4 weeks before Christmas, we light a candle for Advent. Last week, we lit the candle of hope. This week, we light the candle of love.
Jesus shows us God's perfect love. He is God's love in human form. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Love is patient. Love is kind and envies no one. Love is never boastful or conceited, rude or selfish. Love is not quick to take offense. It keeps no records of wrongs. It does not gloat over other people's troubles, but rejoices in the right, the good, and the true. There is nothing that love cannot face. There is no limit to its faith, to its hope, to its endurance. Love never ends. We light this candle today to remind us of how God's perfect love is found in Jesus. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for your gift of love shown to us perfectly in Jesus Christ our Lord. Help us prepare our hearts to receive him. Bless our worship. Help us to hear you do your word. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas around here.
It sure is!
Look, here it is!
You've found the star!
Can I put it on top of the tree this year, Dad?
Sure.
Yeah, probably should have practiced that bit.
How's that look? Great.
It sure does.
Gold.
Gold what?
Gold star.
It's gold, all right.
I remember that when the three wise men from the east followed the light of the star to Bethlehem.
Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time when Herod was king. Soon afterward, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star when it came up in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was very upset, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. He called together all the chief priests and the teachers of the law and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" "In the town of Bethlehem in Judea," they answered. "For this is what the prophet wrote, 'Bethlehem in the land of Judah, you are by no means the least of the you are by no means the least of the leading cities of Judah, for from you will come a leader who will guide my people Israel.'" So Herod called the visitors from the east to a secret meeting and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions: "Go and make a careful search for the child, and when you find him, let me know, so that I too may go and worship him." And so they left, and on their way they saw the same star they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were! What joy was theirs! It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house, and when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and presented them to him. Then they returned to their country by another road, since God had warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod.
The wise men bought the finest gifts they could find to give to Jesus. One bought frankincense, one bought myrrh, and the last gold.
You're right. Gold is known as the most precious and pure gift that anyone can afford, the very best.
I think the house looks... So when we see gold at Christmas time, we should remember the three gifts of the wise men.
Yes, just like three men, We should bring the very best of our gifts to God in worship. We should remember, too, that God gave us the very best gift, everlasting life. We offer back our hearts and lives back to God. We are to live for Him to the best of our ability. We give our best to God because He gave His best to us.
I think the house looks better than ever this Christmas.
Me too.
You're right. Knowing what all the colours means makes the decorations seem even brighter. The story comes to life in living colour.
I couldn't have said it better myself. When we have recounted the whole story colour by colour, I hope whenever you deck the halls, you will remember how all the colours tell the story of Jesus.